But I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, and we're going to go ahead and start there. I want to talk to you about leadership and about deacons and about the church situation and just where you might fit in. We don't elect deacons like other churches. Okay? You either do the work of the deacon or you're not. You all understand what I'm saying? It isn't that I elect you or that you just fulfill the purpose of what God has put in His book. I don't have to wonder whether I preach. Have you ever gone down the highway and the guy flips you off, you know, and screams at you? Well, he's just a flipper-offer. He will probably always be a flipper-offer, you know. And he could probably change, but maybe not, you know. Well, if you're a preacher or a deacon or, you know, whatever, you'll probably fulfill that purpose. Does that make sense? Nobody has to tell you what to do. Say, what am I supposed to do? It's just like Jesus Christ didn't go around, well, I'm wondering if I'm the Son of God. You understand? The Scriptures testified of it. His mother testified of it to him. He believed it and went to the cross and on and on. I mean, nobody has to tell you your job. And at Grace Bible Church, one of the unique things is we don't have a, quote, membership. You can't join the church. You're either a member of the body of Christ or you're lost. Okay? And if you're saved, then you have responsibilities. And I think that the pastoral epistles, which are 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and those books there, really give an emphasis of what is involved. In fact, I want to start in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, and I'm a little draggy this morning. Thank God for my lovely wife. She refreshed me moments before I got here. Otherwise, I'd just about not make it. She is amazing. So I thank God for her. Verse 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou mayest, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith had made shipwreck," and on and on. Then he comes down to chapter 2. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," verse 3, "who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He's talking about the cross. "Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." And this whole thing he's commissioning and committing to Timothy to carry on the fight. And it honors me. I've heard William preach. He did a good job on the King James Bible. I've heard Carlton preach. Men should preach. Why? Well, they learn by showing the truth. The more people you show the truth to, the more people you're going to be better at doing it, if you understand what I mean. You need to go try and say, well, I'm going to run into objections that I can't answer. Well, go home and study. I mean, that's not real difficult. Look, Brother Moore taught me three words as a young preacher. Here's the words, and you guys got to learn this. I don't know. You know, there's nothing worse than trying to act like you know something you have no clue about. That's embarrassing. You know what I mean? You get in there, and everybody around you knows you have no clue what you're talking about. And the realization is that when you get up and preach, you don't have to come up with an original thought. That was the mistake I was making when I first, well, I don't want to preach the same thing Barry does. Well, you know, I've learned I want to preach exactly what Brother Moore preached. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to invent a brand new doctrine and start doing it that Ephesians, Philippians, and Ephesians and Colossians are only two books. You know, I don't necessarily believe that. So the men of the scriptures, you know, when you get up here and to preach, you don't have to come up with an original thought. What you have to do is preach the truth. And he's really trying to nail that down with Timothy and the other young men of God that are set up. And he lays out the ordinances pretty well. I want to go to chapter 3, and this is really the context of in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Your whole object in your mind should become that. Your goal as a young man, as a person, as a man of God, ought to be that. That you desire that office. It is the most honorable office that you can do. In fact, go to Proverbs for a minute. Hold on to here. And go to Proverbs 31. If you can't find Proverbs, you haven't been studying your Bible very much at all. But it's in the middle of your Bible. In Proverbs 31, I want you to see something that is very, very important. The virtuous woman it starts in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For price is far above all rubies in Proverbs 31. But I want you to come down in verse 23. This is the whole point. Hey, Joe. What? Know what? I don't know what that means, but I think that is not saying anything. Too late. Proverbs 31, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, why would you want your husband to be a lazy coot sitting at the gates with the elders?
To learn
the law. Man, listen, any godly woman would say, look, don't worry about me. I'll take care of the house. You go and hang out with the elders. You go learn the truth. You know why? He's going to take it home and wash his wife with the word. He's going to go home and teach his wife and build her up in the faith and establish her and his family as well. And so her desire wasn't that, I mean, she did all the merchant, worked with her hands, sold the land, did all that so that he could sit at the thing. Now, I got some ladies mad at me one time. I was preaching this down in Eufaula, and they thought I... They said, you mean I ought to work and let that sorry buzzard go and just read the Bible? Well, it depends on what you want in life. Yes, if your desire is to be washed properly with the Word, the answer is yes. Say, well, that's not how we do it in America. The men go washing. The women can stay home and watch the soap operas and go to the ladies' Bible tea and all that. Yeah, but that's not how God intended it, unfortunately. This woman worked so that her husband could sit and learn the truth. And you say, well, that's just ludicrous. I mean, me slaving all day and working all day and doing all that he can just sit there and listen. And I know it was hard for Brenda the first couple years I was here. And that back when we were young, you know, I mean, actually had all my hair and all my teeth. You know, trust me on that. There's things change over the years. And I would sit and study 12 hours a day. And sometimes she says, you know, I need some help around here. Well, I understand that. But she also understood the importance of me sitting at that desk and studying and studying and studying and studying and studying. And for 3 years, I basically didn't see my family, even though I was in the exact same house as my family. You know why? So I could learn the Word of God. And so how do you know it so much? Every night, you can ask Brenda and Larry, were we not out every night the first couple years I was here? Every night. I was studying all day long, and at night we'd go visit friends. Let's go talk to them. You know, and that's what we did. I studied all day, went out, showed friends. And we did that for about 5 years. And it taught Larry a lot. One, we got thrown out of a lot of places. They didn't like the message, and they certainly didn't like me very much. So I can understand both of those things, you know. I mean, I now come into the grips with it that it's okay not to like me. But bless God, this Word is amazing. And this lady realized the importance of that. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Boy, that's key. That ought to be your single, men, listen to me, that ought to be your single focus. The picture is better with this setup. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have no idea what you're talking, but Wayne understands your hieroglyphic, Deborah. What is...
I switched cameras. Camera one's on, camera two, two's on, yeah, because of last Sunday's.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Anyway... So that is a real key to what your desire should be. Jamar, you know what your desire ought to be? To be a bishop. Y'all understand? Wayne? And so here's what you have to do in order to get ready as a bishop. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, I might add, a lot of independent Baptist churches think that one wife means you can't be divorced and remarried. I don't believe that. I believe you ought to have one wife at a time. You understand? No, don't laugh. You know, I mean, there's a... back then, they had multiple wives. But it's always best to have one wife. And I might add there that who really needs more than one wife? Amen? If you got a good one, just stick with that one. You know what I mean? Amen? I got me a good one. You know, and I ain't planning to change. You know, so she doesn't like me anymore, and that's okay. I don't like me either. But she, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Doesn't mean you have to be the greatest teacher in the world, but you want to be able to teach. You got it? You want to be able to put the Word of God out there. And the idea that comes to my mind is in Colossians. Go back up to Colossians. And go to Colossians chapter 4. Oh, maybe. That's not Colossians. That's why it doesn't make any sense there. I'm in Thessalonians. I must have flipped more. And Colossians chapter 4, look if you will, in verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, someone comes to you and say, hey, what about this? You ought to be prepared and skilled to answer those questions. You ought not to go, well, hey, I just go to church. I'm just, I don't know anything. I've been going 10 years. You know what? If we did the same test that we did for our high school people coming out in churches. I had a lady come by. I was out of the mailbox, and back then we had the mailboxes on the street. We've now moved them closer to the house so we don't have to walk as far. And on Amos Street, we had a fence, and I walked out of the fence and was at my mailbox, and the lady says, "I want to hand you a flyer." And I said, "Well, fantastic. What is the flyer about?" And she said, "Well, the flyer is about the revival we're having down here at Highland Gardens Baptist Church." I said, "Really? You're having a revival? That sounds neat." She said, "Can you tell me something about your church?" "Oh, yes, sir. I have been a founding member. Been there ever since that church." And she was the sweetest lady, I'm just telling you. I mean, when it comes to sweet, the only one that might surpass her is Jean. But outside of that, I doubt many would even catch her. I mean, she just dripped with sugar, you know. I mean, it's, in fact, I felt sticky when I left her, you know. I mean, that kind of sweet. And so here I am in the talking to this lady, and she was a founding member of this church. And she'd been there 56 years. Can you imagine that? That's how long the church had been there, 56 years. And, you know, the realization is that I said, "Well, do you mind if I ask you what you believe?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, what do you believe about baptism?" And she says, "Well, we water baptize people at our church." I said, "Could you show me one verse why you believe that?" Now, you got to remember, she went 56 years to this church. She's heard preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher. You got it? And she should have it down by now, you know? It should be like, "Hey, I got it. This is why." She couldn't name a verse. You know, if you went somewhere for an education for 56 years and you couldn't answer a basic question about what your basic faith is, and you couldn't answer it, that was you have wasted your time. You got it? You wasted your time. I mean, well, but I love the. I had a lady next door to me on another house on Amos Street. I've lived in three houses on Amos Street. Couldn't get off the street. I was there, and the lady was as sweet. I mean, not nearly as sweet as this one was, but pretty darn sweet. Well, actually, a little bit sweeter to us because she gave us a car. You know, had to have that giving spirit. Well, give the preacher. So they gave me. This was 1987. They gave me a '66 Plymouth. It did run, though. Remember that car, Larry? That gray bomb. I drove it everywhere. It's all I had, man. You know, I'm thanking God for it, you know. But anyway, you know why she went to her church? Because of the choir robes. She says, "You just got to come to our church one time. We've got the most beautiful choir robes." I said, "What is it that they preach?" "Oh, you know, but the choir is the best in the city." Well, in Colossians it says this, that you may, the end of verse 6, that you may know how you ought to answer what? Every man. I mean, that's why you study. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse you know well. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." By rightly dividing, you get the answer, so you know how to answer. That's going to make you a much better bishop or deacon because you have studied it out. Men, your job doesn't end on Sunday morning. Bless God, you need to go home and study the book. You need to be inquisitive. You need to be out showing people. You know, there's people up in Kentucky that are really getting the hold. They hear us 5 times a week. And by the way, you guys can hear me on Monday night when I'm up in Kentucky on justin.tv/the Bible study. And you can watch it. That Bible study is 2.5 hours long. And it's a lot of fun because it's in a casual setting and all that. But let me tell you, you know what's making these guys so strong in the Word? They're going out and witnessing. They're going out and showing people the truth. They're cracking their Bible. When was the last time that you took your Bible and you opened it up in front of somebody you knew and shared them the gospel? Let me have that. I'll answer it. Let me see it. Bring it here. Hurry. I'll call them back. Come on. Hello? You could, but we're having a little... hang on. Say hello to the church. This is the pastor. I made her bring this up. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
And she's at church studying the Word of God. Could she call you back? Okay, well, I'll tell her that you called. Is there any problem? She's not going to double over and die from any of the drugs, right? Okay, you're safe. It's CVS. All right, hey, thank... No, I'm glad you called, and hope you have a blessed morning. If you got the internet, you can watch us live. You could actually watch me talking to you right now. Did you know that? No, I'm not kidding. No, you can go to gracebiblelive.org and just push on the live button, and you'd actually see me talking to you, actually, right now. That's weird, isn't it? But anyway, tune in if you like, and I'm going to preach for another couple hours, but I'll tell Miss Jean to call you after we're done. She's having way too... No, she's having way too much fun, and she loves her pharmacist. Okay, not a problem. Bye-bye. Okay, it's your pharmacist.
Don't ever leave your phone, huh?
Probably not wise with a pastor like me. Anyway... So he may tune in.
Thank you.
CVS. Well, they could probably hear me preach if they open their windows. Anyway, so the idea of the growth of those guys up there is they're out there witnessing. One of the reasons Larry, people go, man, Larry knows everything. Well, Larry and I went out for 2 years straight. Every night. I said, where are we going? I said, I'll never forget. He took me over to his parents' house. That was a real trip. You know, I mean, you know, who doesn't want his family saved, right? So he takes me over to his mom and dad's house. And I didn't know what to do. And so I had a kind of a plan of attack. And I said, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to prove that hell is real and that you guys are going there. Isn't that what I did? And I laid out for about an hour and a half that hell was real and that they deserved to go to hell. And I got up and I said, listen, I've got some great news too. And that great news... Hey! Welcome, brother. Good. Anyway, I said, but before I leave, I've got some good news if you'd like it. I can show you a way to escape that hell. And I got up, closed my Bible, and started walking toward the door. And his dad says, well, let's hear the other part, too. And he didn't get saved that day, did he? He got saved November, he said, after that. I don't know how many months that was. But he started coming to church. And I don't think Daddy Burke ever missed a Sunday, maybe once or twice, but very seldom would he ever miss. And I would talk about the red carpets in those fancy churches. Well, bless God, he didn't want to outdo us, so he bought red carpet for the middle of the hall. So we would have a red carpet. And I appreciate Daddy Burke. And he stood up one day, I'll never forget, and he says, I've been lost all my life. And he said, back in November, I trusted the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And he's got eternal life. And you know, what was amazing is I went to preach his wife's funeral and his wife wasn't saved. And he came up 5 minutes before the funeral and said, don't preach her into heaven. She didn't make it, Barry. She was a lost Baptist. She never understood the gospel. Wow! Hello! That's pretty wild, isn't it? But he knew the difference between a lost person and a saved person. And I appreciate that. And that was how we learned. We learned to go out and witness and talk to people. You want to learn? I'll go with you. I'll teach you. You know? I'll go out and talk to people with you. I love to talk about this book right here. This book is all my life is. Everywhere I go, I crack it. See what happens. Sometimes it turns out good. Sometimes people are yelling at me. Doesn't really matter. But all I ever desired from the moment I got saved was to tell people about Jesus Christ. See, I desired that office. I had fulfilled that office in what God had said for me. Nobody had to say you had to do this, this, and this. I just went on the course, and that was the way it was. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So not given, you have to be sober and good behavior and vigilant and given to hospitality, apt to teach. Verse 3 says, not given to wine. That is, you can't. It's not a matter of whether you can't have a sip of wine. It's not that you can't be a drunk. You can't be given over to it. You can't be given to the alcohol as a substance and on and on. And he says, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness. You know, covetous is very strange thing. It is amazing how people are jealous of certain things. When I bought the Jaguar, people got freaked out. They're jealous. They're covetous. They want what other people have. They drive down the road and say, "Ooh, I'd like to have that. Ooh, I'd like to have that." And most of our lives are consumers and taking and not in the giving mode or sharing mode. Most of it is, I want that someone else has. Ooh, I seen that and I really like that, you know. And I believe covetousness is one of the most common sin there is. And you know, where there may be some religious people ain't committing adultery, there are very few that's not covetous. You understand? I mean, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. You can see covetousness in the clothes we wear. Amen? I mean, who wouldn't want one of our T-shirts? Grace Bible Live T-shirts. I mean, people are covetous over those things. So you have to be careful. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And let me tell you what. You know, here's the problem with starting to learn rightly dividing, especially when you're someone young like Jamar. You know, listen, let me tell you what. The realization is that you start to think, man, I know something. You start to have that chicken breast attitude like, oh, look at me, I really know something. Well, you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. It isn't about how much you know. How much have you given out at sharing the gospel with other people? When was the last time? Let me ask you honestly. I mean, just, you know it in your mind. God knows it as you're sitting here. When was the last time you cracked open the book and you really tried to witness to one of your loved ones or friends? You remember the last time you did it? See, we get in this mode of Christianity and we don't keep, you know, if you offer a desire an office of a bishop, you're going to be cracking your book everywhere you go. Say, well, I work all day. Go ahead and say that. I did too. I do too. You know, it's amazing to me. Say, well, if I was like you, I'd get it. Hey, folks, when I was a Kmart manager, are you listening to me? I was drawing that timeline on every box. I bet you there are thousands of cardboard boxes all over the United States in people's houses and landfills that have my timeline on it. I bet you I showed that. Jim, what happened when you came to sell me paper?
You didn't have a box.
I had a whiteboard, though. What did we do when you first came in?
About 2 hours later, I got out of your the business, and my boss called and wanted to know, are you working today or what?
I was out preaching. Wayne, when you came over to my house to do some network marketing, what did we end up talking about?
We ended up about 3.5-4 hours of Bible study.
That's what I do every day, guys. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I love this message. I do it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ and I want to get people saved. I do it because I think it's important. You ought to desire that. Bill, you ought to desire that. That ought to be the front point of your desire. Carlton, I mean, you're working with people named Amy. I don't even know Amy, but I'm witnessing to her on the phone. She's freaking out. Let me get Carlton. I'm not done with you yet. You all understand? Sitting down to eat lunch, and I was there the other day, and some lady made a remark out of the Scripture, and I said, well, that's not really true. Would you like me to show you? I've got a few more minutes on my lunch hour. I'd show you in that Bible you got there. She said, no, I think I'll be okay. Well, I was there. I was prepared. If it was going to happen, I was ready. Didn't need notes. I was ready. Amen? No notes. Had it down. You know why? I might have to show it to somebody. You know? You might just have to whip out the old sword and show them. Wouldn't it be terrible if you say, whoa, I need notes. How long you been going to church? Well, I still need training wheels. You know, Alan doesn't ride his Indian with training wheels, although the way he was driving it looked like he needed some. He's riding it like a man. Sounded like a girl's bike, but, you know, other than that, no, I'm just doing that because the Harley guy up front. I'm kidding. And Larry said, that wasn't a Harley. He hurt his ear out there. When William drives up on his Honda, Larry just laughs in here. He doesn't realize what... He acts like he's cool with William when he comes in. Hey, man, I saw you rode your bike. Earlier, he was going like this. Something like that. I'm not sure. You know, those Harley guys are a little bit strange.
It's a Harley or nothing.
Yeah, I guess. I liked his Indian dressed out pretty nice.
Amen.
I mean, I'd feel like I was in a car if I was in William's bike. You know, he has speakers and, you know. I bet he has a glove compartment or something. Do you? Yeah, see? I mean, I could probably ride that bike. Do you have a cup holder? I mean, his bike had everything but the kitchen sink. Did it have a kitchen sink? Oh, thank God. Yeah, I guess. Hey, guys, listen to me. Wherever you are, you know, it's time to pull the training wheels off. If you don't know what you're doing, Jamar, invite me to talk to your friends. I'll go. Bill? Just, I'm a call away, although I can't reach you anymore. It's just an answering machine. Just, you know, call me. I'll call you back. You're out in the middle of hell? Oh, that is hell. Yeah, well, I'm not planning to go there. Anyway, I'll go with you. You don't even have to do it. You can just watch me get all bloodied and kicked around and thrown and my teeth knocked out and all that. I'll go do that for you. And eventually you're going to get good at it and you're going to start to see what I do. And I don't pull any punches. Because I'm not trying to get them to church. I'm trying to get them in the Lord. I'm trying to get them saved. Say, well, it's uncomfortable. Yes, sir, it is. It's a lot easier to talk about Alabama football and Ohio State and Kentucky basketball than it is to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. NASCAR is easier to talk to with Chris in the Bible, isn't it? Always. So you have to make the effort. Say, stop. I need you to listen for a little bit. I just want to show you a couple things. But what happens if you don't know how to show it? Well, you sit down and talk to your son, your daughter, your friends. You're not prepared. And you know why you don't sit down there? It's because you don't want to be embarrassed. You haven't been taking notes and you haven't been studying. You come to church and you've been hearing the Word, but you go home and put the Bible up and you don't pull it out. I bet you that's 80% of the people in this room. And if then you do read it, it's like a reading, not a studying. But I didn't mean it to be that quiet. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3.
What's the difference?
Between reading and studying?
Yes, sir.
Oh, huge. I mean, I took the men back, and I may do this again. Would you all like to do this one Saturday? We'll go through a subject, and I'll teach you how I study it out. I'll show you how I do it. It's not complicated. You know? But it isn't reading. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15 again. It did not say, read the Bible to show thyself approved unto God. That's what people do. Had a lady said, well, I got my daily devotional. I read along with it, and I read 5 chapters every day, and this is my deal. Okay. That lady needs a husband to wash her. Because he never said, read the Bible. Not one place. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. If I called Jim Bordeaux and I said, Jim, I want you to come up here right now and preach to us for 25 minutes on baptism and explain the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. He ought to be able to do that. It ought not to be like, hey, I wonder what's going on in the Bible. He's been studying for 17 years. He's one of the second oldest members in the church. I'd be disappointed if he couldn't do it. That would be embarrassing. Go to church. Hey, I've been to church 15 years. Can you preach a simple... How many here went to school for 12 years? Okay, a few of us, thank God. Some of you I wondered about all along anyway, so it didn't really matter. Could get up here and teach basic addition from 1 to 12. Let me test you. We'll try the times. What's 2 times 2? What's 4 times 4? Wow, you guys are being smoked by the youngster here. You haven't done math in a while. 16 times
16.
32. Huh?
64.
256. I don't know. I'd have to add it up. But the point that I'm making is we could teach that. You understand? That can be taught. You know why? You know it. There wouldn't be anybody embarrassed. Said, Gene, come up here and show us the two tables. 2 times 2 is? 2 times 3 is? 2 times 4? 2 times 5? You see what I'm saying? I mean, you'd fly through them. You know why? You know them. Yet the people go to church 15 years and they go, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Well, then guess what? You need to study. Not just read the Bible. How many here read the Bible every day? At least a verse or two. Okay. How many here study out subject? One, two, a couple of them. You know? That's the key, guys. Because how do you answer every man if you don't study out things and get it in your mind? Say, will it stay in your mind? Should. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So you got to be careful that you're not a novice falling into condemnation of the devil. What does a novice start to think? He'll listen to a tape of Brother Moore. I've seen this happen 100 times, and I've got to tell you, I'm guilty of it too. I took one of Brother Moore's tapes, I'm not kidding you, and I studied that thing out, and I said, man, that's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Man, I listened to it again, and I wrote out those notes, every note that he put, man, I'm like, oh, man. And so I got up and I tried to preach it, and I didn't know the subject. And you know what? I looked intelligent for that one day, but when people started asking me questions, I'm like, I don't know. Well, you said this. Yeah, but I don't know. How embarrassing was that? But there for the moment, I looked like the limelight. I heard a message from a preacher, I'm not kidding you, that I know personally, and I heard it. It was the exact message of Brother Moore. I mean, I'd heard that exact sermon. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to copy, but don't just copy. To act like you know something, you better know the subject. Amen? You might have to answer a question or two on it. Amen? So you better know the subject. And when I first started, I preached on pre-Adamic world. Remember that? 23 years ago. Man, I felt so intelligent. Man, I was drawing this picture out of the pre-Adamic world before Adam was born, where Satan was and what it looked like and the glamour and the glory and all that, and then his fall. And I'm preaching that. You know, I had no business. I don't even have any business preaching it now. I don't even know if it's in the Word of God, but it sure preached good. You know what it was? It was pride. It was wanting to act like I knew something when I didn't know anything. Amen? That's what it was. It was absolute pride that stopped me. When you start to think you know something, look in Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to have to end. I can't believe it's this time already. Thank you, brother. You're starting to become my favorite student. You know that, don't you? Hey, miss. In Romans chapter 12, I love verse 3. Watch this. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You see that? You know what? Listen, I found out most of what I learned didn't come from me. You know, it came from other men. And people today try to act like they invented it or something. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, this kind of sped by. I'm sorry. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, hang on. I may have the wrong spot. Give me just a second. Go to, it must be 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, I can't find it. Oh, I'm sorry. It's, here it is. It's 1 Corinthians 4. It says 3 at the top of the page. That's why 3 stuck in my mind. Sorry about that. Verse 6. For these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake. Now watch, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And why did thou glory as if thou hast not received it? You know, I see people come up, and as soon as I hear this thing out of a young preacher, I cringe, because I did this myself. I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. You know what? You got to be a little bit nervous at that point. You know what? If 2,000 years worth of men never saw it or preached it, it probably isn't true. You got it? So these young men get up there and they go, I want to show you something I've never heard out of a grace preacher's mouth, or that I would be leery of that. You understand? Red flags would come out. You know why? Because listen, everything I've preached, I've heard from Brother Moore, C.R. Stan, I've heard it from many other sources. It isn't just one place. You got it? And so when you go to preach and teach and tell people about the gospel, you ought not to come up with something inventive. God's not asking you to be inventive. He's asking you to preach the Word. And we've got to end, or we're not going to take a break.